KPFK Los Angeles, a progressive media outlet, challenging corporate media perspectives with spirited political debate, local news, public affairs, health and wellness, music, and the arts. Listener-supported, non-commercial community radio, serving the cultural welfare of all races, creeds, and colors. 90.7 KPFK. Power to the people. Right on.
This is a KPFK special program. Connect the Dots with Lila Garrett, which normally airs at this hour, will return to its regular time beginning April 15th.
Good morning and welcome to this 1 hour joint KPFK WBAI special edition of We Only Want the World with me, your host, Sansara Taylor, on the Mueller moment, Trump's fascist escalation, and the interests of the people. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a writer for Revolution Newspaper, that's revcom.us, and a host of We Only Want the World on KPFK's sister station, WBAI, in New York, also part of the Pacifica Network. Please do follow me on Twitter, at Sansara Taylor, and if you tweet at me during the show, we'll be responding to comments there as well, at Sansara Taylor. So I'm here live in Los Angeles in the studio, and I'm in Los Angeles as part of the National Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour. And like I said, I'm very happy that this affords me the chance to be here live in the studio at KPFK. So let's get right into it. The long-awaited Mueller investigation has resulted in no indictments of the highest level of officials of the Trump-Pence regime. And a summary of the report stated that there was no collusion with Russia. And in response, this has unleashed the Trump-Pence regime to go on a full-throttle fascist offensive. They're demanding investigations of their opponents. They're calling for resignations and blacklisting by the media. And the regime is escalating its full program against the people on many fronts, moving to eliminate health care for millions, stepping up anti-immigrant hysteria, and threatening to shut down the U.S.-Mexico border. On Thursday night, at what could only be described as a Nuremberg-style rally in Michigan, Trump gave voice to his determination to seek retribution on those investigating him, or those who investigated him. We'll hear a little bit of that right now.
The credibility of those who pushed this hoax is forever broken, and they've now got big problems. This group of major losers tried to divide our country, and they're on artificial respirators right now. Little pencil neck Adam Schiff got the smallest, thinnest neck I've ever seen. He is not a long ball hitter. Sick, sick. These are sick people. And there has to be accountability. Jerry Nadler, I had to beat him many, many times. Now I come here, I have to beat him again. Can you believe it? All of the Democrat politicians, the media bosses, bad people, the crooked journalists, and all of the current and former officials who paid for, promoted, and perpetuated the single greatest hoax in the history of politics in our country. They have to be, I'm sorry, they have to be accountable.
At this rally, Trump also doubled down on his anti-immigrant hysteria.
The credibility of those who pushed this hoax is forever broken, and they've now got big problems. This group, catch and release. You catch them, and then you got to release them. Right? Do you think they're giving us their best people? No, they're not. They're giving us their worst people. The rush to the border. Another two caravans now are pouring up. Mexico could stop them so easy. And if they don't, and I'm telling you right now, we will close the damn border. Last month alone, more than 76,000 illegal immigrants arrived at our borders to be apprehended. We have to apprehend them. 76,000 people, many of which are rough people. Okay, I'm being nice. But we have people that have criminal records. We have a lot of people. We have a lot of problems. We apprehend them. We capture them. It is an invasion. You know that. I say invasion. They say, isn't that terrible? I don't know what these people are thinking.
So that's just a sample of Trump unleashed on Thursday night. That's not including his insinuation that those who investigated him are treasonous. There's many other things we'll get into. But today we're going to spend the hour examining three critical questions in relation to what we could call this Mueller moment. First, what has happened? Second, why is this happening? And third, where do the interests of the people lie in relation to all this? And we're going to talk not just about the Mueller report per se, which we don't even know the full contents of, but the larger moment that this sits within and the rise of a fascist regime in this country and really an escalation of that. So to get into all this, I'm really very happy to bring to you live in studio with me Andy Z. Andy is a spokesperson for Revolution Books. He's an advocate for the new communism forged by Bob Avakian. And like me, he's currently here in Los Angeles as part of the Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour. And he is also, along with myself, a co-initiator of RefuseFascism.org, an organization of people coming from diverse political perspectives, united in the recognition that the Trump-Pence regime poses a catastrophic danger to humanity and that it must be driven from power through sustained mass nonviolent protest. So a few days ago, he was part of organizing protests in response to this Mueller moment, which we'll talk about later in the program. And we'll also open up the lines to take your calls a little later in to talk with myself and Andy. Andy, welcome to the program.
Well, it's great to be with you on the air. I've enjoyed being with you in Los Angeles, and I'm glad to be here.
Great. So you just listened to the clips. I know that we've been talking about this a lot lately. A lot of people are talking about it. Frankly, a lot of people are disoriented and demobilized and not recognizing what's at stake in this Mueller moment. And I think maybe we should just start by you responding to what this moment is in the broadest sense.
Well, I think if you listen to that those clips from Donald Trump, one thing is the beginning of that clip, the dripping fascist sarcasm and feeling vindicated is just truly an expression of a fascist. But, you know, I had to think when I was listening to the greatest hoax that's been played on the people of this country really is that this is the land of the free and the home of the brave and is a force for goodness in the world, when it is elected, and principally legitimately, even as there's serious questions about how the election was actually conducted, and certainly it was on the basis of the Electoral College, a legacy of slavery. But nonetheless, this is the greatest hoax, which has people very bamboozled and confused about what it is we're actually facing with the Trump-Pence regime. But on the particular thing of this moment, it is a very serious moment. But we should first of all, understand and be cognizant of the fact that all we have now is a summary of the report from the Attorney General Barr, who got his position on the basis of discrediting the investigation as a whole. So, number one, we don't actually know what's in the report, although it does say that Mueller, former FBI chief and major functionary of the government, found no evidence of collusion with Russia. But Barr added into this that there is actually no obstruction of justice, when the report actually said that they cannot exonerate Trump on the question of obstruction of justice. But this is actually a serious matter because what you see here in Barr's assertion is a tremendous expansion of executive power, which means that Trump can the principles that are codified in this is that Trump now can go ahead and fire anybody or any president, but particularly Trump and this fascist regime, go fire anybody who opposes them. And there's other dimensions in which this executive power is further aggregated into the presidency. And you have a situation of that is a furtherance of one of the main objectives of fascism. So that's on the report itself. The second thing you spoke to before, and we'll get into more, that this has unleashed the Trump Pence regime as a fascist regime to go much further on their offensive, much further on their offensive, which is a necessity that they have. One, to impose these draconian things on the immigrants, which you just played a clip on that, but especially to go after their adversaries in the Democratic Party and those who they need to completely domesticate and or wipe out to be able to implement the kinds of changes they're going into, which we'll get into more. And the third thing that happened in, as you said, in this Mueller moment is that the people themselves have been, certainly the opposition, who were told to pin all their hopes on this Mueller investigation, have been dispirited, and over a period of the last 2 years have been progressively demobilized and diverted into both electoral politics and relying on the very institutions that have given rise to this fascist regime.
Yeah, I think it's, it's very striking that for the last almost 2 years, we have heard a nonstop barrage of, oh, Mueller, we're going to have an investigation. You know, as more and more of this fascist program of Trump and Pence has been unfolding, which I actually think we should talk a little bit more about, what does it mean to call this regime fascist? Why is that the case? But I think over the last 2 years, it's so striking that as millions and millions have been horrified, they've been shocked, they've been outraged by what this regime has been barreling ahead doing on many fronts, towards the environment, towards immigrants, towards women's rights, which is also escalating right now, the assault on abortion. There's been a constant drumbeat. I mean, Rachel Maddow takes it to extreme proportion, but also the Democratic Party leadership, the New York Times, other voices of wait for the investigations. And so you have this moment where the investigation has finally been completed and people have been waiting, and you have this fascist escalation on the one side, and you have a whimper in response. And I don't know if you want to comment on that at all.
Well, sure. Look, this was never the key question that people needed to be focused on. This was never the key question, the potential collusion with Russia, the investigation, and the whole electoral process through which people who were outraged at the election of Trump, 4.5 million people came out in the streets. People responded at the first time that there was the moves against immigrants, rushed to the airports. And successively, you see that protest movement dying down as people are being told to rely, as you said, breathlessly from Rachel Maddow on these institutions and this investigation, which is not to say there might not be anything in that report that could be utilized if there was a movement of the people from below. But as this has progressed, it's the wrong terms, because the terms that we have to be fighting on and had to be fighting on are that this is a fascist regime that is moving very rapidly to change the governing norms of society, eliminating civil rights, democratic rights, and such as they are in a system that we live under, which is a capitalist imperialist system with a dictatorship over the lives of the masses of people. That no choice that you get in this society affects the fundamental things that people who care about justice and people whose lives are oppressed by the system are actually concerned about. These decisions are pre-selected for you. So you had this investigation, which, of course, on the one hand, you had Trump and his backers up high, as well as his social base below, could label a witch hunt. And then on the other side, you had the Democratic Party and their other representatives of that trend, from the Washington Post, L.A. Times, New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, all saying this is the magic wand you're going to be able to use, when in fact what was necessary to actually oppose this was people themselves getting out into the street, because this can't be solved within the system. And we have to get into, as we have this conversation, into why that is the case and why we couldn't rely and still can't rely on the investigation, even as that report should be released. And and there may be things in it which could become part of a struggle to oust the regime.
Well, maybe we should go there right now in terms of this. Look, a lot of people will say, and we run into this all the time, you know, it's crazy. People are using the word fascism ever since Trump came to power. It's a very controversial word. It's a very poorly understood word. It's also a word that gets, ironically, the very people who use it, and it's being used more frequently, are not acting like they believe it. you know, if you think if you really have a fascist regime in power, you would be acting in extraordinary ways to stop it, as opposed to passively waiting and going along. So maybe it would be worth it to just step back and look at how did we get in this situation? Is it really the case that this is a fascist regime? But how did this emerge? And one of the other questions that comes up with this all the time is, and I think it's part of where people get close to confronting this, but they also retreat from it, is the notion that, well, we're in America. This fascism couldn't happen here. You have these democratic institutions. You have a tradition of checks and balance. You have all this mythology about America, and I think it really stands as a blinder to people because you just see this barreling ahead, civil liberties being eviscerated. You have concentration camps being of immigrants, and you have even without camps, you have people, thousands living, being housed by your government, the U.S. government. I don't just mean you, Andy, but everybody living in this country under a highway overpass. I mean, these are very extreme things that are reminiscent of early Nazi Germany, or not even that early, you know. So, and yet people, there's a sense that, well, we just had an election. Okay, the processes are working as usual. Okay, there's a normalization and a disbelief even as it's happening before our eyes. And I think we have to look at what is it that has really given rise to this, and what is it is it really true that this couldn't happen in America?
Well, you asked a few, you raised a few points,
yeah.
So there's a long answer to that, and there's a lot of things to take apart. But I'm glad you clarified that this isn't my government. It's a very important point.
Yeah.
But in fact, I am here in L.A. along with you, working for the time to when we could actually build. Right now, we're building the kind of movement, a movement for an actual revolution, for that time when we can replace this system, which does so much to oppress the people of the world, and actually bring about a different kind of government that would be in the interests of all of humanity and free humanity from the scourge of this system. And that's concentrated in a constitution for a new socialist republic, a real socialist republic, on the way to eliminate all forms of exploitation and oppression that's in a constitution written by the leader of the Revolutionary Communist Party and the leader of the revolution, Bob Vivekian. But to get to your question here on fascism is really a different form of rule of the same system, a much more vicious, blatant, outright terroristic dictatorship over the masses of people. And as such, as you pointed out, it's the evisceration of civil rights, democratic rights, such as they are. All of that gets wiped away. You separate out, you destroy whatever separation of powers that there are. You can see Trump moving on that now. And so I think if you look at this is what is happening on the level of governance. But there's also a program involved in this. Which in America is we call it a triad of white supremacy, which is at the root of it, xenophobia, which is a hatred of people coming from other countries, and a nationalism, a white supremacist nationalism, patriarchy, the forcible imposition of what would amount to a Handmaid's Tale society for women in this society. And what's peculiarly America is this manifest destiny, which has been here since the roots of this country, of the conquering of other countries, and whatever is in it is now concentrated in the American first. And this white Christian nation gets codified here with the Trump-Pence regime in the alliance between Donald Trump and Mike Pence, and this political movement of Christian fundamentalists, a political form of that, which is more accurately called Christian fascism. Now, I don't know if we could take a little more time to really pull the lens back on how did we get here, which I think it'd be worth doing for a
yeah,
minute.
Yeah, no, I think it's necessary. I think we should go there a little bit.
Yeah, because I think, you know, as you say, a lot of people say this couldn't be fascism. Fascism in America, no. This, we have a grand tradition of democracy. Yes, there's problems in this country, but the arc of history bends towards justice. But if you actually look at a country founded on slavery, founded on white supremacy, founded on genocide of the native peoples, founded on the theft of Mexico, founded very early in the doctrine of manifest destiny, If you look at all of this history, you could say how of course fascism could develop here. It's in the fabric of the country. So that's kind of the longer story of America, and then there's the larger question of the system itself, which is a worldwide system of exploitation and oppression, competition between different countries over who can more efficiently exploit people. And so that you see fascism, and those, that whole system is running into problems now, which we'll get into more. I don't just want to keep going too long on this thing, but that's giving rise to fascist movements around the world. More specifically, this fascism has been directly organized over the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 40 years, after it, coming off of the 60s, there was an actual movement that coalesced and with political operatives in the Republican Party who began, you know, it got unleashed in 1980 with the election of the candidacy of Ronald Reagan, who began his campaign right there declaring states' rights as a fundamental principle. And this movement organized initially around abortion. They said this was the taking away the right to abortion. This would be the door through which people came into the fascist movement. And over the last decades, to compress this a bit, that fascist movement has grown mm-hmm. into a Christian fascist movement with other strains of fascism in this country, which took a certain leap with the Bush regime, the George W. Bush regime. But now with the ascendancy of the Trump-Pence regime, you've got a regime in power in a situation in the world and in this country where the workings of the very system itself have given rise to the ascendancy of this regime, and they're moving forward on a program which they've not been able to fully implement. And the more proximate causes of all this have been the crisis that this country is facing, both competition from allies, the situation with the climate that's driving more and more refugees into Europe and into mm-hmm. the U.S., the workings of the system itself and how it has affected countries around the world, and their rivalry with countries, the rising capitalist country in China today. So all of this has driven the system to try to find solutions to this. And one possible solution to this is a forcible assertion of America first, and then at home, dealing with the crisis here of where the fabric of America's changing, the demography, the composition of the country's changing. It has led to a situation where this is a viable alternative for a section of the rulers. And then we can talk about how that antagonism between these two sections of the rulers and two sections of the people is taking shape today.
Yeah, I think we do need to unpack more of this. I think that it's really important that we look at what Trump and Pence are as not just personalities, not just what's happened last week and not just the scandal of the week, but what this reflects about the deeper nature of this system and the crisis and extremes it's being driven to right now. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to We Only Want the World. It's a special program I'm hosting in this week, Sansara Taylor. Lila Garrett will be back next week. This is KPFK.org, streaming live, and we're going to go to a quick station break.
UCLA's Center for the Art of Performance presents The Gloaming, an Irish group that dwells at a musical crossroads, enhancing traditional Irish music's rich, melancholic tones with modern hues of jazz, contemporary classical, and experimental music. Passed down through the generations, their songs cover a multitude of topics, from historical events, love poems, to bittersweet accounts of loss and immigration, and of course, devilry, merriment, and drinking. The Gloaming performs on Friday, April 12th at the Theater at the Ace Hotel. For tickets and further information, go to kpfk.org or cap.ucla.edu. KPFK is a proud media sponsor of UCLA's Center for the Art of Performance 2018-19 season.
We appreciate your support. Donate today at kpfk.org.
Okay, so welcome back. This is Sansara Taylor, a special edition of We Only Want the World on the Mueller Moment, Trump Pence's fascist escalation in the interest of the people. I'm here in studio with Andy Z, who is a spokesperson for Revolution Books and an advocate for Bob Avakian's New Synthesis of Communism and a co-initiator of RefuseFascism.org. In the break, we're going back and forth here in the studio. There's so many elements of this to go further on, including I kind of threw a intentionally very large question at him before, and there's an element of it that I think we want to return to of there's a major fight within the ruling structures of this country. And this is one of the things that we began the program with, was clips of Trump really threatening retaliation, going after major liberal leaders of, you know, ruling class figures in the Democratic Party. He had this mob. It was a big part of his campaign, but also on back in 2015 and 16, but also on Thursday night, he had this thousands of people led in a chant, lock them up, lock them up. And you see on the one hand, this ripping up of the norms of bourgeois democracy, which has always been imperialist rule, but it's had certain norms, certain rules of the game, and they're being shattered on the one hand. And on the other hand, relatedly, these Democrats are, they're not calling this fascism. They're not fighting it. They're not taking it on as what it is, even as they're being gone after. And I wonder if we should examine that a little bit.
Well, I think it is important to look at. And another characteristic of fascism is that it not only relies on the state, the police, the military, INS, all these forces to enforce and to bludgeon the people, but it actually relies on a social base and extra legal forces to actually enforce this as well and to terrorize people. And so you saw that in Charlottesville with the march there, the Tiki Torch March of 500 people chanting, "Jews will not replace us," defending the Confederacy. And really the roots of this are in the Civil War and in that founding aspect of America in slavery and white supremacy. But for the Democrats' part, you see, you have this sharp problems that the people up top are trying to solve. And you have this fascist base that has been cultivated by a section of people with tremendous influence. And you have a party, the Republican Party, that's largely been hollowed out and turned into a fascist party. Yes, not exactly on the model of Nazi Germany, but ideologically and politically, that's who they are. And but for the Democrats, they're looking at this, and it's not that they don't know it's fascism. They invent word after word to describe it. You know, it's white nationalism, it's right-wing populism, all this thing. They're now starting saying the words white supremacy, but they won't actually deal with it's fascist. But they know it's fascist. One of their leading spokespeople and former Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, wrote a book calling it fascism. But they can't go there, because if they were to go there, that implies two things. One, they would actually have to confront it for what it actually is. And that could go to a situation of civil war, which the Republicans invoke all the time. There's fascist from, I think it's from Iowa, Steve King goes and says, our side, we have 8 trillion.
Yeah, he said, I have the quote. He put out a meme. Folks keep talking about another civil war, he tweeted. One side has about 8 trillion bullets, while the other side doesn't know which bathroom to use.
Right. And of course, you should certainly advocate for and fight for the rights of trans people. But he's actually getting at a different contradiction, which is that the Democrats do not want to go there. They do not want to mobilize the black people, the brown people, the women, LGBTQ people, every white person who cares about justice and about the environment of all nationalities. They don't want to mobilize those people into struggle, because if they did, that could unravel the whole social relations that they.
Well, this Democratic Party has been part of enforcing those things. If you look back, Bill Clinton, it was Nixon started the war on drugs, but Bill Clinton did the omnibus crime bill that started this. I mean, just accelerated the mass incarceration. He began the militarization of the border. Obama took that to new levels with the deporter in chief. I mean, on any one of these fronts of these social fault lines that are at the foundation of this country around white supremacy, around patriarchy, around the anti-immigrant America First, around the U.S. as an empire in the world. The Democratic Party is enforcing that, even while they are seeking to do it in a different way than these fascist Republicans, and even as they are attempting to appeal to a base that doesn't like all those things. That's a huge contradiction.
Yeah, that's right. And even you can see that what came before even the crisis we're facing on the border, they have direct responsibility for. The initial wave of immigrants in this last round, the caravans, came from Honduras, which, besides the fact that over the last 100 years it's been known as a banana republic under United Fruit and U.S. Corporation, for which the former attorney general was actually the chief counsel. But more recently and more proximate to this, under the regime of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, gave the green light to a coup d'etat, which directly led to a situation in Honduras that caused tremendous conflict there. And this is what drove people forward. And you can walk through all kinds of things, from the what's going on in Israel, the moving of the embassy, now advocating to seize the Golan Heights, and see the hand of the Democratic Party in all of this. So you have a situation where they are actually complicit in these crimes. And look, when just recently Nancy Pelosi once again said, as had Jerry Nadler, that we're not going to go for impeachment because that would divide the country. Well, first of all, Bob Avakian, in a speech and a film that's available on revcom.us, the Trump-Pence regime must go. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. A better world is possible. You know, makes the point. I just forgot the point.
The divisions are
things that have developed out of the system, and he's just making use of them for his ends. But I think you can see something very profound in a toss-away comment she made last week when she said, "So we're not going to divide the country through impeachment." And then she went and said, "And besides, he's not worth it." Mm-hmm. Which, you know, is sort of stunning in revealing where these people come from, the top leadership of the Democratic Party. He's not even worth it. You see, to people like Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic Party, risking the empire, risking the rule of this system is not really worth it. For them, if it means fascism, even as they're opposed to that, and it's actually going to be directed at them, in many ways, in getting them to be domesticated, well, that's just as somebody once said, is a matter of taste. And that somebody was a leader of the Russian Revolution at that time, in 1920s. But to the masses of people, this is not a matter of taste. This is a horrible future that is previewed by seeing 20,000 people in camps on the border, people under a bridge. And this is the problem one of the big problems we face is that people of justice are allowing this to happen. So you can't say, first off, as we said earlier, that it can't happen here. It is happening here. And two, don't go saying that I don't understand how the German people let it happen. It happened mm-hmm. just the way it's happening right now. People going about their lives, being complacent about this and hoping that somebody else takes care of it. But if they don't take care of it, then I'm just fine as long as it doesn't affect me.
Yeah. So this conversation is occasioned by, as we began, the release of the Mueller report, not the release to the public, but the completion of the Mueller report. And the way that Trump has taken this and his fascist regime, which we're describing the roots of, has taken this as a vindication. And I think Steve Bannon used the words, Trump is going to go full animal and use the findings of this report to bludgeon. That was the word he used, bludgeon his opposition. And we see this unfolding and we see the passivity and the way that people's anger has been corralled, domesticated largely by this Democratic Party, which is working. Yes, they've been working to constrain Trump and this fascism, but they've also been working very hard to constrain the anger and the masses of people, precisely because they don't want to unleash that kind of struggle from below that that it would really take to confront this fascist regime and oust it. So what I want to do is I want to the third question that we frame this whole discussion by, which I think is a really important question in every conversation, every time current events happen, any development in the world, what is happening, why is it happening? And the third question, where do the interests of the people lie? And so to get into this, I think we have to talk about this on at least two levels, and they're related. But to get into this, I want to play this excerpt. Let me see which one it is. It is from Bob Avakian on – it's number five. On if you pull back the lens, and this is some of what we're talking about, the Democrats, the Republicans, these fascists, they are having a huge fight. They are responding to the needs of empire in very different ways from each other, and they're fighting over that. And they're not unified. Those who say, oh, they're all the same. Oh, these leftists, they think they're all the same. No, they're not all the same. But neither of them represent the interests of the people. And I think this is an important point of departure, this excerpt from the talk, Why We Need an Actual Revolution and How We Could Really Make Revolution, from the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. And then we'll come back and talk about this.
Why are black people, Latinos, and Native Americans subjected to genocidal persecution, mass incarceration, police brutality, and murder? Why is there the patriarchal degradation, dehumanization, and subjugation of all women everywhere, and oppression based on gender or sexual orientation? Why are there wars of empire, armies of occupation, and crimes against humanity? Why is there the demonization, criminalization, and deportations of immigrants and the militarization of the border? Why is the environment of our planet being destroyed? These are what we call the five stops, deep and defining contradictions of this system. With all the destruction and suffering they cause, which must be protested and resisted in a powerful way, with a real determination to stop them, but which can only be finally ended by putting an end to this system itself. Why, along with all this, do we live in a world where large parts of humanity live in stark poverty, with 2.3 billion people lacking even rudimentary toilets or latrines, and huge numbers suffering from preventable diseases, with millions of children dying every year from these diseases and from starvation, while 150 million children in the world are forced to engage in ruthlessly exploited child labor, and the whole world economy rests on a vast network of sweatshops employing large numbers of women who are regularly subjected to sexual harassment and assault. A world where 65 million refugees have been displaced by war, poverty, persecution, and the effects of global warming. Why is this the state of humanity? There is one fundamental reason. The basic nature of the system of capitalism, imperialism that we live under, and the way, because of its very nature, it continually perpetrates and perpetuates horror after horror. And in fundamental terms, we have two choices. Either live with all this and condemn future generations to the same, or worse, if they have a future at all, or make revolution.
Okay, so that was Bob Avakian speaking to the deeper nature of the system that we live under and the two fundamental choices we have. I'm here in studio with Andy Z, spokesperson for Revolution Books and the co-founder of RefuseFascism.org. And in a moment, we're going to have to squeeze in a station break, but I want to give you a chance to respond at least initially to what we just heard, and we'll come back at the other end.
Well, I think people should sit with that two choices and why that's actually the reality we face. Either we live with this system and all it means for people in this country and people around the world, including that at this moment there's an existential question of the survival of our species, and the planet and what they're doing to the environment and the risk of nuclear war. Either we live with all of this or we make revolution. And we're on a tour right now, both of us. The title of the tour is You Think You're Woke, But You're Sleepwalking Through a Nightmare. What kind of world do you want to live in? This system cannot be reformed. We need an actual revolution. And because of those five things that Bob Avakian just listed, those five, what we call five stops, five things that millions and millions of people want to see ended, and they take to the streets at different times to fight around it. They feel deeply in their hearts. And the fact that these five stops cannot be reformed, and anybody who wants to can call me or get to come to Revolution Books or get in touch with you through your account and make the case why they could be reformed, but they cannot be reformed because of that, and the fact that millions of people hate this. There is a possibility for revolution, and we are working on that now, and utilizing the more scientific development of communism into the new communism, that whole method and approach to understanding and changing the world. And that's what we're doing on this tour, and that's what's fundamentally needed. Even as, after the break, we'll come back and talk about that there is an immediate task that everybody has, including those of us who are for systematic change through revolution, overthrowing the system, in driving out this Trump-Pence regime, and how we need to unite very broadly to do that. So after the break, we can say some things about that.
Including many people who are not yet convinced of the need for revolution, but refuse to accept the fascism, which is objectively being imposed and objectively at this moment being escalated in a very dramatic fashion. So I do want to go to the station break. You're listening to KPFK here in Los Angeles, WBAI in New York, and streaming online at kpfk.org. This is Sansara Taylor with a special edition of We Only Want the World.
Hi, I'm Rita Gonzalez, along with Ralph Radabaugh from The Out Agenda. Our guest this week is Alan Acosta. We'll be talking about the 50th anniversary of the LA LGBT Center. Also on the program is This Way Out with international news and events. So please join us on Monday evenings at 8 p.m. by logging on to archive.kpfk.org, then click on to The Out Agenda.
We appreciate your support. Donate today at kpfk.org.
Okay, so you are listening, like I said before, to a special edition of We Only Want the World with me, Sansara Taylor. I'm talking in studio with Andy Z. And before we go back to him, I want to invite you to call in. We're talking about the Mueller moment. We're talking about the fascist escalation of the Trump-Pence regime in this moment. We're talking about the paralysis. I was going to say paralyzation, but the paralysis and the perilousness of this moment and passivity among the people and how this
three
actually.
P's.
Yes, there we go. Three P's. And how a lot of this has been consciously inculcated by the Democratic Party that has been corralling and domesticating people's anger, one, into waiting for Mueller, and two, into what we could return to BEB, bourgeois electoral, I'll say it for radio, BS, as opposed to stepping outside the channels of this system. But I want to give the number for people to call in. It is 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. So call in, give us your comment, give us your question for Andy or myself, and we'll make you part of the conversation. One last time, this is 818-985-5735. And while we give people a chance to get on the line, Andy, I know I made you be very abridged before the break, so go ahead.
Well, I'll try to be abridged now also so we can get more voices in here. As I said, there are these five stops, the unreformable aspects of this system that people care deeply about, and that is the basis for an actual revolution in this country. And the fact that the system itself is in crisis and it's developing and people are trying to deal with that situation where there could be openings if there is a force out there that is, sees the way forward and to bring about a radically different and far better system where we could meet the needs of all of humanity. But in the immediate situation, there is a real crisis with this fascism developing. If it gets consolidated, it's going to be a world of hurt and horror way beyond what people can even imagine, because this isn't Germany. This is the country with nuclear weapons. It's a tremendous horror for humanity. But if we could get together the broad swaths of people who actually hate this, the kind, all the people who came out in that first women's march, all those kind of thing, and would take to the streets. This is the program of Refuse Fascism. Take to the streets in protest in different cities in a nonviolent and sustained protest, day after day, night after night, repeatedly coming back into the streets until and demanding that the regime be removed from power, which is what is happening actually right now in Algeria. And you see there in Algeria that as this pressure from below is coming, that you're seeing splits, that part of the rule, one of the people key in the ruling coalition there has now abandoned the president for his own reasons and allied himself for the people and probably will betray them. But that's what you see going on there. And the same process will happen here. These Democrats who do actually know what's going on, some of them, if we're out there doing what we need to do, demanding this and not conciliating for their own reasons and for their own reasons and to co-opt this movement, but nonetheless, they may take hold of the things that they do have to drive this regime out. That's what we're aiming for. And people of whatever persuasion, even if you are getting involved in the BEB, bourgeois electoral BS, and thinking that's the solution, we all need to get together to demand this regime go. Because if we don't, we don't know what the future will be. And Michael Cohen, Trump's former lawyer, said that if he loses this next election, he's not even sure that Trump would cede power.
Yeah.
That's the stakes of this.
Yeah. And of course, Trump just came out and said, I have the military, I have the police, I have the bikers, you know, basically saying if I'm really challenged, things could get even uglier. So we do have a lot of people lined up on the line. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, are you with us? Almost. Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. You have a question or a comment?
Comment. I agree with you guys as far as Trump being another figurehead of this imperialist fascist machine. Some of us learned that early on, some of us later on. But as far as with regard to Mueller and the report, or I think we just need to recognize it for what it was, a liberal version of Benghazi, and it was led by dishonest and bad faith actors in the news, and even there's some people on this station that continue to double down on that, and there gotta be something with Russia. Like, leave Russia alone. You know, we don't need to be tilting at windmills. We've got an actual problem right in front of us, and that's the current government that we have, that we've had for a long time. And so I think identifying those bad actors that supposedly are on our side or people who don't want to continue accepting the way we live, you got to identify them, call them out, and discard them, and then move forward with just people action. Electoral politics is a bougie exercise, so let that to folks who have the patience for it. But otherwise, don't associate with Democrats. Don't associate with Republicans. Make them come to you if that's even a possibility. But really, it's people action. General strike.
Okay, okay, Jeff, I got you, and I'm going to give Andy a chance to respond. I know we're going to try to squeeze in a few more calls. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, well, Jeff, you make an important point that people have been diverted. Their attention has been shifted. And as we said earlier, that the Mueller investigation was not the main issue. The main issue is that it's fascism. But in terms of and in fact, people have, and including, yes, I'm sure at this station, been encouraged to actually be, you know, look, people were encouraged to root for the three generals as the adults in the room, to go behind a former FBI chief who's committed enormous crimes in his life and against humanity, and the same with Barr. So people have been led to do that. But I think that putting it all on bad actors, there's two problems with that. One, we don't know what actually went on with Russia, but there was something there, and we should find out about what it was. And certainly the question of the obstruction of justice that came out through all this is something that matters in the process of fighting fascism. But more than that, and more fundamentally, these actors are in a play, okay, to extend your metaphor. And the play has a script, and the script has some firm rules to it. And so it's not just the actors, it's the system itself that needs to be changed. And if you just look at it as bad actors, you could be encouraged to get some better actors in there, and you will continue doing it, because once these actors like AOC get into there, they're either going to have to get out of that, or they're going to be co-opted into this. And we saw all the women in white stand on the floor of the House during the State of Union and cheering USA, USA, USA. They revealed themselves to be part of the same system and headed in that same direction. Some of them are already enforcers of this worldwide imperial system. Others are just in training and want to be that, whatever their intentions are. So actors is not sufficient. We have to get a whole different script and go for something, a radically different world.
So the women in white, of course, referring to the new Congress, 42 women who came in, and they're all dressed in suffragette white, which really became the color of surrender instead to this when they're chanting USA. So I'm just adding that. But let's
I like that point, the color of surrender instead of the color of suffrage.
Yeah. So we have Robert on the line, too. He has a comment that there was no, as I understand it, there was no collusion found. Shouldn't we move on? Robert, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I see the fascism coming mostly from the progressive left that wants to replace our current system with a new one. I see capitalism as doing the greatest good to rise people out of poverty that's ever been tried. There's no perfect system, but communism has just caused the deaths of millions and led most people into abject poverty. If you look at the poverty in the United States 100 years ago, they would be considered middle-class people. So the very, very poorest of our society have benefited the most from capitalism.
Okay, Robert, I think we get the essence of your question, and because it's a big one, I want to have some time to respond to it because we're getting close to the end of the show.
Yeah, it is a big question, but Robert, you need to take a deep breath and look at two things. One, you need to take a look at that this so-called great life for people in this country is on the backs of the people of the world. That's something that can be demonstrated. I'm not going to take the time right now to walk through all that, but this is an imperialist system, and if you just look at all the goodies that you have and you say, well, that's because of the great nature of capitalism. Well, and Avakian has made this challenge. Take everything that you have gained in this system that comes from the labor of people in other countries and the oppressed people of this country, and take that away and see how great this system actually works. As for the first stage of communism, it was a stage where, for the first time, the slaves rose up and said, we're going to try and get a radically different economic and political system and emancipate humanity. And they were defeated through the workings of imperialism, the greater strength of the imperialist system. And there were serious shortcomings in that, as well as tremendous achievements. The shortcomings are what has been summed up through a deep analysis by Bob Avakian. And that's why we say that there is a new communism. And I encourage people to go to revcom.us to read about it and to watch the films and to get into it further.
Okay, so we're doing a speed round. We got Israel on the line, on line three, and we're going to squeeze in one last question. Are you there?
Yes, I am. You guys are talking about the Mueller report, and I just wanted to say that I think the real collusion is the whole electoral process is a huge scam, and I think, you know, if there was distraction, we were distracted from that. You know, Bernie just telling everybody to, just vote for Hillary after he was, you know, clearly he should have been the one leading that party to win the overall election, and he wasn't allowed to. I think that's where the attention should have been focused on, not on all this other BS, you know. And another thing, you guys were talking about Christian fascism. I would think it should be called Judeo-Christian fascism, since, you know, the Zionist funds are in almost every congressperson's pockets, including our leader, our presidential, our president, and the majority of our leaders, left or right, it doesn't matter what they are, you know.
Okay, Israel, I'm going to give Andy about 60 seconds to respond to at least the first question that you posed, because they're both big questions, but go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, well, Israel, I agree with you in a basic way. This electoral system is a sham. It's a scam that people are continually played through. You know that there's no fundamental change to this system and to the things that people care about that's going to come through these elections. What it does is not only does it distract you, but it gets the people to put their stamp of approval on this system and on who's ever elected. And if you and you can just see this cycle gets repeated over and over again, which is why we've gone around and putting up these signs BEB on all these candidates, because it's trapping people in that system. Now, as for the AIPAC and Israel, Israel, I think we do have to look at as a gendarme of the an outpost of the U.S. in Mideast, and they certainly themselves have a very fascist form of government. In fact, they have the justice minister in Israel recently did a commercial spraying herself with a perfume she called fascism, which well sums up that what's happening with that country and their support by and lifeline with the Trump-Pence regime.
Okay, so I just want to interject one other thing from the caller. Is that I think there's maybe a shade of difference that's important between what he was saying about the corruption within the electoral process,
right,
that Bernie should have won instead of Hillary, to saying it's not the corruption within that process, it's the system that whole electoral system serves, and that once you enter that, you're choosing who to rule this system. It's back to, do you need different actors or do you need a different play? Do you need different representatives or do you need a different system? So obviously we could have a whole show on that, but I want to thank the people for calling. I want to thank everybody who spent the hour with me. I want to thank Andy Z for coming in early this morning here in the studio in Los Angeles.
Are you implying that I'm a night person and not a day person?
He is a night person, not a morning person, but he is a morning person today. So, like I said at the beginning, this has been a special edition of We Only Want the World. Lila Garrett will be back next week at this hour. I'm your host, Sansara Taylor. I want to thank Teddy Robinson for engineering here and Henry Carson, who is the production assistant today. And I want to just give appreciation to KPFK and to WBAI for hosting this special. If you missed any portion of this or you want to go back and listen again or you want to share it with friends, check out the website kpfk.org for the archives, or follow me on Twitter anyhow. I will also be tweeting the link at Sansara Taylor. Until next time, this has been We Only Want the World.
Queens, crooks, and thieves, you don't see the forest for the trees. Head and heart on our knees, you can see what we all see. How do you sleep?
The program that you just heard was a KPFK special. Connect the Dots with Lila Garrett, that normally would have aired this hour, will return at its regular time beginning Monday, April 15th.
Hi, I'm Sonali Kohatkar, host of Rising Up with Sonali. In case you're wondering where my show is, don't worry, we've moved to a new time slot, weekdays at 4 p.m. So tune in this afternoon from 4 to 5 to hear Rising Up with Sonali on KPFK 90.7 FM and kpfk.org.
Hi, I'm Rita Gonzalez, along with Ralph Radabaugh from The Out Agenda. Our guest this week is Alan Acosta. We'll be talking about the 50th anniversary of the LA LGBT Center. Also on the program is This Way Out with international news and events. So please join us on Monday evenings at 8 p.m. by logging on to archive.kpfk.org, then click on to The Out Agenda.
This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for your donations and overwhelming support of this listener-sponsored community radio, KPFK. It is the support of listeners like you that keeps this station strong, fiercely independent, and powered by the people. Thank you from all of us at Pacifica Radio's KPFK 90.7 FM.
There's an exciting energy here at KPFK. We've listened to you, our listeners, and we want what you want. More content, less fun drives. Help us to reach that goal by becoming a KPFK Sustainers Circle member. Sustainers choose a regular amount to donate monthly, directly from a credit or debit card or a bank account. And this provides a steady monthly income by which we can better direct our financial decisions, making our mission-driven programming that much more impactful for you. You can become a member of the Sustainer Circle with as little as $10, $15, $25, or a $50 a month commitment. And that's a commitment to a stronger, more powerful KPFK. Join us by visiting kpfk.org and clicking on the support button. Thank you for your timely, increasingly important contribution.
My name is Leon. I've come up listening to KPFK. It's wonderful. I really got into it with Roy's show, Midnight to Six, Roy of Hollywood. Learned so much. It's an education. Just wonderful. It's one of the dangers of KPFK. When you turn it on, if you're into it, there's nothing else going to go on. But, yeah, this is just a great place. Loads and loads of stuff. And no matter what you want, it's here. And